Welcoming back to our studios today, we have Luke's daughter, Nathan, Troy's own independent journalist. Welcome back, Luke.
Hey, good to be here as always. I'll start with city council. There was a barn burner of a city council finance meeting and city council regular meeting. And by barn burner, I just mean that combined, you know, those two meetings probably covered a good almost nearly 4 hours. I was there last on Thursday.
Did you stay the whole 4 hours?
I did. And I don't even think I got up to do any sort of bathroom activity either. So I was there.
you were just on the edge of your seat the whole time.
Fully present on the edge of my seat, perhaps. Well, the biggest news to come out of the city council was that the city council majority, the Democrats, effectively appointed a new person to fill Mark McGrath's seat. Mark McGrath resigned a little while ago after a voicemail in which he used racial slurs was described by the Times Union. The person that the city council majority appointed after they had conducted interviews with, I think, about 8 or 9 people, Deborah Garrett, who is a community health project coordinator at the Commission on Economic Opportunity. That's a nonprofit in the area that works in the area. She lives in North Central. And they appointed her the majority appointed her because the two Republican members abstained from the vote. They didn't vote no, they abstained. They basically said, we're not going to vote because they said that they were not because they said they had no problems with Garrett and they were looking forward to working with her, but that the Democrats had shut the Republicans out of the process. That's what they said. And so
Did they say how they were shut out?
I think they weren't allowed. They weren't given, you know, resumes to look at. They weren't included in the interviews in any way because the Democrats could, because they had the majority of the members. They basically held the power in this way. And so, you know, the Democrats didn't really address that, at least on Thursday night. Didn't really say, you know, why they decided to completely exclude the Republicans or whether they would object to that characterization. But that's how the Republicans described it. In any event, Garrett said that for her, you know, and I should say, too, that Garrett is not the Democrats nominated she's not who the Democrats nominated to run for the District 2 seat in November for the election in November. That's Mary Sweeney, who works for the County Board of Elections and lives in the District 2 as well. So Garrett will only be serving in this position until the end of this year.
And Garrett doesn't plan to run at the end of this year.
I think it's too late. I think she would have had to get her petitions in by now if she were to try to mount some sort of a challenge in the Democratic primary. So it'll be Sweeney and then, you know, whoever the Republicans have nominated. But she said, you know, during her time, for the rest of the year, that she wants to elevate the families and the youth of North Central. And she had this one line that got a lot of applause. It was, we don't want people to be complaining about the mattresses in the alleyways. We want people to come help us clean up the mattresses in the alleyways. You know, again, she's on the city council, you know, I'm not sure that the city council could pass an ordinance. I don't know. Like, I'm not sure what legislative avenue there would be for cleaning up mattresses in the alleyways expediently. Maybe there is one, but in any event, I think that she's going to try to use her position to kind of advocate for North Central in some way. So stay tuned on that. Another big kind of item that was the item that was probably the most discussed was the city has already approved a contract to the tune of $200,000 with this firm River Street Planning to overhaul the city's zoning code. The zoning code is pretty outdated and there's a lot of, you know, they want to kind of do a full audit of the zoning code and then change the things after public meetings, that need changing and, you know, think about, well, okay, how should the city look? What should be allowed to be built where? You know, hopefully through this process, the city can rework its zoning code in a way that there is less of a need for variances, right? Less of a need for people to come before the Zoning Board of Appeals and say, oh, I want to, you know, because even things like if you want to open up a tattoo shop, apparently that's not in the code. You know, it's kind of outdated in that way. Or like urban ag kind of thing, like that's not really in the code. So these things, the city would like to kind of formalize, I think, a bit.
Who's going to oversee that project?
The zoning overhaul is River Street Planning, which is the...
Do they have, is the zoning board going to be doing the oversight during that
project?
Yeah,
I think they're
going
to be, like, liaisoning with the planning department and the zoning, you know...
Yeah, they're not just giving it commission. To, like, this third party and being like, have at it.
No, I think it's going to involve a lot of... You know, and you can read the River Street Planning's proposal. It talks a lot about working with the respective land use boards of the city to kind of help, you know, come up with this. And also the city just, or not, I keep saying just, but it's not really just anymore. But last summer, the city approved a new comprehensive plan that kind of is the blueprint for what kind of development the city wants to see. So now it's about bringing the zoning code up to, you know, to match kind of what the comprehensive plan says. In any event, it has the council president, Carmela Mantello, has argued and argued again on Thursday to basically put this zoning overhaul plan on hold and instead use half of the funds that were going toward this contract. So let me back up. This $200,000 contract is being covered half by a state grant, and the other half is being covered by the Troy Redevelopment Foundation, which is a nonprofit that itself is made up of other of big nonprofits in the city, like St. Peter's Health Partners, RPI, Emma Willard, and Russell Sage, who all together make a $450,000 annual voluntary contribution to the city. Half of that $450,000 go, or $250,000 of that TRF contribution goes toward the city's general fund every year. And then $200,000 of that money is then used for more kind of one-off special kind of projects, like, say, the zoning overhaul. So Carmela Mantello has argued that the city should instead use that $100,000 of TRF funds for... And she was kind of vague again on Thursday, like neighborhood programs, using things, youth programs, filling pothole, like all sorts of ideas were sort of bandied about. But I guess what she's sort of describing as like more kind of direct funding distributed to the neighborhoods rather than this zoning overhaul, you know. When this was being, so she tried to amend a rather administrative ordinance that had to do with setting up the budget accounts for this zoning project. And, you know, one of the Democrats, Anasha Cummings, sort of countered by saying, like, this, you know, the zoning overhaul is kind of for the neighborhoods. It's going to allow people to give input and help revise the zoning code in their respective, you know, as it applies to their respective neighborhoods. So it's not as if it's just this sort of esoteric theoretical thing, like zoning kind of dictates really
everything.
You know, it has a pretty broad applicability. So in any event, her amendment failed. Carmela Mantello's, the project is now kind of totally green lit. And Deborah Garrett, who had just been appointed that day, abstained, I think, because of she was sort of witnessed the argument back and forth and was kind of like, I'm not ready to vote. So she abstained, but it passed anyway. And then a couple other smaller items. The city council voted to award a contract that's grant funded to the Chazen Companies, another outside contractor, to develop designs for several sites across the city. And these are sort of like gateways to the city, if you will. Like one of them is near where the current Uncle Sam bus stop is in Riverfront Park. Sort of antiquated kind of situation there. It's kind of cool in a kind of retro way, but there, because that Uncle Sam bus stop is being moved to the garage, which I'll talk about in a minute if we have time, they're going to use that land. They're going to reconfigure that land and make it more of an entrance to that park.
It'll be nice to not have idling buses by the park all the time.
Yeah, you know, that's a really funny thing when you stop and look. Like, why are these buses, you know, they're either idling kind of by the park or they're idling, you know, down closer to Dinosaur Barbecue, just sort of pulled off to the side of the road, or they're idling on 4th Street sort of just randomly there. I mean, it's no fault of the drivers, obviously. It's just the way that the layout of that turnaround is sort of just odd. You know, maybe I'll jump ahead now because there's a couple other sites, but I won't talk about those. And then the one other piece of legislation I wanted to mention, the state assembly and state senate are currently considering legislation to allow the city of Troy to collect a 4% hotel tax. Apparently, this is something that needs state legislation. It's not something that the city of Troy can just authorize unilaterally. So on Thursday night, the city council passed a what's called a home rule request or home rule message, which is basically just like a memo to the legislature that says, like, yes, please go ahead and do that. If it passed, it would, you know, be another sort of source of revenue to the city that may, if I believe I heard correctly, these funds can only be used by the city for like tourism related purposes or like tourism promotion kind of purposes. But nonetheless, you know, that could be a substantial new source of revenue for the city.
Does that include Airbnbs?
It does not. This question came up on Thursday night and it was said, I think the mayor said that no, it does not include Airbnbs. Although there may be a separate Airbnb related tax that is that Rensselaer County already authorized that may also be coming to Troy, or maybe it goes to the county, not to Troy, but maybe, you know, Troy could look at that separate tax in the future. Let me jump ahead before I forget. Last week also, this was kind of big news. CDTA, which has been locked in this eminent domain dispute with David Bryce, who the real estate developer who owns that big garage at the corner of, well, it's really a whole city block, but like in between River Street, 4th Street, the hotel, the Best Western Hotel that's right there, and Fulton Street, if you can picture it. Big garage, Uncle Sam garage. CDTA is trying to build a bus station that sort of abuts that garage, but it's nonetheless on the same parcel as that garage, that will basically encircle it. So it'll have bus only lanes kind of around the garage and through that alleyway between the garage and the Best Western. And it will also have like indoor seating and stuff along Fulton Street, you know, where people can buy tickets, and there will be like display boards with like how long it'll take the bus to arrive and, you know, stuff like that.
An update.
Yeah, a major update. CDTA had been negotiating with David Bryce to get a long-term lease for this land, but they couldn't come to an agreement after years. And so finally CDTA just said, fine, we're just going to, you know, take it from you, pay you, but take it from you. And so David Bryce,
do that?
It's called eminent domain. Yeah. I mean, if a governmental body, and I'm not a lawyer, but this is the kind of layman's explanation. Like if a government needs to acquire land for a specific purpose that they think is in the public interest, and there's no other way to basically go about, you know, using this land, or there's no other better way to do it without taking this land, then they can, you know, basically force you to sell it to them. But the person or entity that owns that land has the right to challenge your, you know, that taking, although their challenge is not, it's hard to challenge it really. So David Bryce tried to challenge it and it was heard. There were oral arguments a few months ago. They've been briefing back and forth and, you know, in written form, and the court, it's a state appellate court, even though it's not an appeal, it's just kind of the kind of court that hears these sorts of cases. And they decided that CDTA was within its right, basically, to take this land, to use eminent domain to take this land. So that basically means that the project is green lit to move forward, you know, barring, you know, any land use, local kind of regulatory stuff that they still need to clear. That said, David Bryce still can appeal, and they basically would appeal to the Court of Appeals in New York State, which is the highest court in the state. And they say that they are going to appeal, although, so that could, you know, potentially delay the project even more. The reason all this matters, you know, beyond just obviously it's a bus station that would be built in Troy that might, you know, increase, you know, rider comfort and yada, yada, yada. CDTA is also working on a rapid transit line that runs from Waterford / Cohoes down through Troy into Albany. That would, it would be a bus line that is basically similar to lines that are already running, but would run more frequently, make less stops, so essentially be faster. And they want that main hub by the Uncle Sam parking garage to be like the hub of all these different lines. So it's a sort of major bus station that is kind of on hold until this case is totally resolved. But I guess CDTA fans will take heart at that initial ruling, even if it is eventually appealed. in other CDTA news, CDTA also runs a bike share program. It's called CDPHP Cycle, named after, I guess, the lead sponsor. You've probably noticed those green bikes around. It's now the third season that this is ongoing. The bikes are now out. I've seen them. I haven't ridden one yet, but one change is that they've already added Cohoes. So Cohoes is now like a part of the zones that they're, the zones are Saratoga Springs, Schenectady, Troy, and Albany. But even bigger than that, I guess, is that CDTA is eliminating out of hub fees. There are these bike racks that you see when you drive or walk around. It used to be that if you didn't return a bike after taking it out of one of those, if you didn't lock it back on one of those stations, doesn't have to be the same one that you took out, but just one of those stations, then you incurred a $2 charge.
Where else would you lock it?
Some kind of post, you know, some sort of public street furniture, you know, that's the term of art used, you know, like a bike rack that's outside a bar or something that the city put there.
Can you do that and they'll come and get the bike?
Yes. So that's kind of what happens now, is that either they will come get the bike and return it to a rack for you, or just, you know, everyone has an app so you can look up and you can see, oh, not only are there bikes, you know, at all the stations where I would expect, but also there's a little purple dot here, or here, or here, and that's where it's just locked to like a fence or something like that.
So all these bikes have GPS?
Yes, they do. So you're being tracked everywhere you go. And indeed, I have, like, on my phone, I saw, full disclosure, I use this, this service, and I can see all the bike rides I took, you know, a year ago.
That's kind of cool.
It's kind of cool, sort of. I'm not like I use creepy, it for any. Yeah, it's not, it serves no real purpose for me, but I can, guess, like, relive the memories, so to speak, if I want. CDTA is also not, you know, and there's been some issues reported in other bike share programs across the country with these, what they're called, dockless bikes. You know, some bikes you don't even have to lock up. Some bikes you just leave them wherever. The idea being that it would be kind of hard to steal a bike of this type because they're being tracked all the time. So why even lock them up? But these will be locked. But still, you know, people might start getting angry that, like, oh, why are all these bikes being locked, like, in front of my house or something, you know, like, they seem to think that they'll be able to manage any sort of complaints and stuff like that. But it'll be something to watch, I guess, given that it's new. So, yeah.
Well, Luke, we've reached the end of our time already. I know. And I see we barely even got to half of what is in the Troy letter.
That's why everybody's got to subscribe. I can't speak today.
Where can we go to subscribe, Luke?
tinyletter.com/Troy_letter, or just email me luke.s.nathan@gmail.com and I'll sign you up.
And where can we go to support Troy Letter?
Oh, I also have a Patreon. It's just patreon.com/Troy Letter, where people make, you know, contributions to help keep Troy Letter's lights on.
And are there any more fridge magnets?
There are. Left? There are many.
All right. Go support.
They're weighing me down. I'm happy to give them.
Luke and get a fridge magnet. Thank you so much, Luke.
Thank you.